Is it really interesting to see how these companies are approaching Chicago, right?
She was telling me she's really trying to understand how the tech ecosystem here works.
What's interesting about the baby boomers is that they've never met a debt they didn't like.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And here we are on this Monday afternoon. Thanks very much for tuning in. Steve Bertrand in the Allstate Skyline Studio. The folks from Chicago Inno join us on most Mondays, and sure enough, they did today in the studio as Catherine Davis. And on a phone line this afternoon is Jim Dahlke. Jim is, he's out shoveling the walks of everyone in the western suburbs. So that's very kind of you, Jim. Thanks for volunteering that.
Yeah, greetings from a very snowy and sloppy Geneva, Illinois. Yeah. The snow is dense today.
Good luck with that. Catherine made it in. And Catherine's got a piece about buying Christmas. It's all about buying today, right? And you can now buy a Christmas tree online, which I guess shouldn't be too surprising, but I thought part of the fun was, or agony, was going out to the lot and picking one out.
I know, that's how people have been doing it for, I mean, since the beginning of time, right? But, you know, kind of as our world turns more on demand, you can now get a Christmas tree on demand. So there's a few tech companies that do that. So Dolly, you know, they're a Seattle-based delivery startup, and they'll bring you a Christmas tree right to your door.
So it sounds like they go to Lowe's, right? Pick a tree
right
out of Lowe's.
They're sourcing their trees from Lowe's.
So a 12-year-old or 16-year-old with a car could do this business, too, if he wanted to.
Yeah, exactly.
Jim, would you are you an artificial tree or a real tree guy?
So we're an artificial tree family at the moment, but I don't think we'll be that way forever. I think this is exciting in the sense that, you know, not everybody wants the kind of Clark Griswold Christmas experience where you take the family out to the wilderness and chop a tree down that comes home infested with vermin and bugs, right? So I think that, like, having this sort of gig economy kind of experience to your door when it comes to Christmas trees is pretty interesting. And like Catherine said, certainly not surprising. And as we've seen sort of every industry kind of adopt an on-demand mindset, Christmas trees are no exception.
You know, every year in my family, we're now artificial too, but we had real trees until last year. And I would go out with the kids every year and we'd pick just the perfect tree. And I think my kids enjoyed it 1 year out of 18. And the rest of it, I tortured them and made them do it. So I get that. The one I like is this company called City Tree Delivery, because they pick up after themselves, which I think is probably the best part.
Yeah, so they're actually a Chicago-based company, and so they'll deliver you, you know, a fresh Christmas tree, but then they'll also recycle it once the holidays are over. They'll come back and pick it up and dispose of it for you.
What do these trees cost generally online?
About $100. I mean, on the low end is about $50, but I think that was a more of a promotion that they were doing
right
than like the actual price.
Jim, it's Cyber Monday, but we're still talking a little bit about Black Friday. And Max Temkin hasn't been on for a while from Cards Against Humanity, but they had another, looks like a stellar stunt that they pulled on Friday.
Yeah, Cards Against Humanity loves these kind of shopping holiday gimmicks. And yeah, this year was no different. They did a pretty funny one, actually, where they sold a bunch of goods all Black Friday long at 99% off discounts. And their inventory was pretty random. Everything from lab-grown diamonds to live ants to the actual Coneheads prop that Dan Aykroyd wore on his head in the movie. So really, this is everything was on 99% off sale. So for example, Dan Aykroyd's Conehead was $20, normally around $2,000. Another silly sort of promotion from the Cards Against Humanity guys. But hey, those guys continue to stay relevant every shopping season, even though they're not making any money off of, you know, selling 600.
They're not making money; they're losing money. Yeah, I mean, so they had a 5-day Fiji vacation that they sold for $71. So if people were online on their site, right, these deals would pop up on Friday. And I don't know if it was first come, first serve, but what a pretty cool thing.
It was, and they generated a lot of press for their company, right? Lots of people wrote about their Black Friday gimmick, and people are still talking about and buying the Cards Against Humanity game. You know, a lot of games like theirs have kind of come and gone. I mean, they're not a new game, right? They've been around for several years now, and people continue to, you know, gift Cards Against Humanity as Christmas gifts throughout the holidays. So that's, you know, sort of speaks to not only their just sort of quality as a game, but their sort of ability to market as well.
That's Jim Dahlke, senior editor at Chicago Inno. Catherine Davis, who writes for Inno, is in the studio as well. Going to listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. Jim Dahlke is the senior editor at Chicago Inno. Catherine Davis is a writer there, and they join me on this Monday afternoon. Jim, you wrote a piece about this this startup in Chicago, AeroPay, which is of interest to me. You know, the different ways for mom-and-pop retailers to save money. The paying for credit card fees can really eat up on their profits, and AeroPay has an idea that they think might solve that.
Exactly. You can kind of think of AeroPay like a mobile payment experience that happens in-store. So basically, the consumer and the merchant both download the AeroPay app, and the consumer, basically, when they're in-store, think about you're in a coffee shop, you put your order down in your phone, a merchant accepts that order kind of on their end, you take the coffee and you walk out. No cash is exchanged hands, no credit card is exchanging between one and the other. It all sort of happens via the app. So it makes for kind of like an Amazon Go-like shopping experience where you can sort of pick up what you want, you know, make the transaction via your phone and sort of leave. But really the benefit that AeroPay sees is for the merchants, right? So what they're able to do is really cut down on credit card fees. So they're charging just 1% to AeroPay for using the service, based on the 2 to 3 to 4 or whatever percent that a lot of merchants are having to pay with a traditional credit card transaction. So really what they see is a big benefit to small business here.
Catherine, it seems to me like I don't use Venmo. I've never done Venmo, but isn't this kind of like Venmo?
Yeah, in ways it kind of is, you know, the simple phone mobile payment method. You know, but I think what's really interesting about this is that, you know, when you first look at it, you're like, how easy is it going to be to get people to download another app to pay for something when they could just use their credit card? But, you know, like for me, for instance, living in Lakeview, there are certain restaurants and shops, you know, locally owned that I like so much, I would download this to, you know, still go there and give them that benefit.
And that's how it works, Jim, right? The customer has to download the AeroPay app and as well as the shop owner, they both have to be up and running for it to work.
They do. And the app also sort of acts as a loyalty program and kind of a discount service. So if you download the app and you buy a coffee, maybe you get 10% off here, 5% off there. So there's an incentive to the shopper and the savings you can get from what you purchase using the app.
All right. So that's AeroPay. Catherine wrote a story about Cancer IQ, which is, what is it? You take a word test or something and they can figure out your...
Yeah, so Cancer IQ, Chicago-based startup, and they're trying to fight cancer. So they make a software that they give to or sell to healthcare providers, and it gives them, you know, an idea of a patient's genetic predisposition to certain cancer. So whether that's, you know, looking at their family history, other factors, diet, etc. So they have patients take a survey, kind of give them all the information, and it'll pull data from Cancer IQ's database to give them the best answers.
Okay, you guys know me. Sometimes I throw wet blankets on. You're already nodding your head. I mean, is this something that is? This doesn't seem like.
So I actually talked to a physician here in Chicago, Ricky Gaber. She's at the Advocate Illinois Masonic Medical Center, and she says that Cancer IQ has really helped make her job easier.
Really?
That she's able to, you know, see more patients because she has this data in front of her before their appointment, and it also gives her a better idea of how to treat them going forward.
But it's basically a questionnaire.
Basically, yeah. But of course, there's a lot of data. You know, once you collect more data from more patients, the information becomes better.
Jim, what do you make of this?
I like it. It's an extra tool for the healthcare providers, right? It's not going to be, you know, the thing that solves cancer, right? But it's an extra, you know, it's an extra piece of software in the tool belt for all these people who are doing a lot of interesting work around cancer care. So if you can help a physician, you know, be 10% more efficient within their day, see more patients, and be able to diagnose things maybe 10% quicker, that's going to have a huge impact. So I'm interested to see kind of how Cancer IQ is able to grow.
And the doctors, Catherine, would pay for this, right? They would buy the survey. That's how it would work?
Yeah, exactly.
Are they, is it individual physicians? Is it hospital groups? Or who are they selling to?
So it's both private practices and big healthcare systems. For instance, like Advocate Healthcare here is a client of them.
All right, so that is called Cancer IQ, and I hope they have great success. Okay, Jim, your work with me is just about done. Does this mean you're going to go back out to the yard or the driveway and shovel, or what exactly is in your future today?
Oh, we got everything shoveled out early this morning, so we are finally free and clear of the wet, sloppy snow we had last night. So we're in good shape.
Oh, good. Well, I'm sure you could find a neighbor who's not, so enjoy the afternoon. Jim Dahlke. Thanks. We'll talk
all
to you
right,
next
thanks,
week.
Steve.
Jim Dahlke on phone line. Catherine Davis in the studio today. Thanks for coming by, Catherine. We'll see you next Monday.
Anytime, Steve.
Thanks very much, Domady. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. All right, in the studio now is Lindsay Slutsky. She's the chief marketing officer at Geobit, and we talk quite a bit about... I'm sorry, I had the wrong microphone up there. We talk quite a bit about Geo but with on the program, and business is booming, right? Did I read something like during the third quarter, you guys were up 500%?
We actually sold out and went on back order right during the back to school time frame. Back to school was just a huge moment for us with parents getting their kids ready to get back to school.
So tell me about the Geobit, what it does, and why. To be honest with you, I'm tracking my daughter right now because she's on an iPhone, and she's sitting at the airport delayed now another 2 hours. But for some reason, she let me track her one day, and I can see where she's sitting in the terminal. With an iPhone, why is a Geobit better than that?
So Geobit is for a different age child.
Sure, absolutely right.
I don't think your daughter would let you put a Geobit on her right now. I'm assuming she's probably a teenager, maybe a little older. But Geobit is for those kids that are ages 2 to 8 before they get a cell phone. And it's really all about giving parents peace of mind. A parent's number one job is keeping their kids safe, and knowing where they are just brings you that extra peace of mind.
But there's the GPS factor, then there's the beacon part of it. Can you explain for me how that works?
Yeah, so it's a real-time, fully connected cellular device. It'll track in real-time at any distance. We use cellular, Wi-Fi, GPS, and Bluetooth.
Uh-huh.
There's no distance limits. It'll track your child across the street or across the world.
And it's the device is $100?
$100.
And then $9 a month?
$9 a month.
It's Cyber Monday. Do you guys get involved in Cyber Monday?
We do. We have a deal going on right now. Starts at 2 p.m. Just for a limited time while supplies last.
What is the deal?
It's up to 25% off. So
great.
It's a great deal. It's a great price.
And but also then you're on back order, right? Because things have been so popular, you don't have stock in stock.
Yeah. So right now, anything that we sell for Black Friday while in stock during this promotional window, we'll be able to ship in time for Christmas. Once that's out, then we'll be back on back order.
So, Lindsay, who buys this? Because, you know, my kids are older now. They're in their both in early 20s, 20. And, you know, I was always worried about their safety, but I don't think I was this worried about it. You know, I don't think I was tracking them. Now, the technology didn't exist then, but I'm wondering, who's your typical client here?
It's really millennial parents who have grown up with technology at their fingertips. Millennial parents are really expecting technology to solve a lot of problems. They use technology in every aspect of their life, so it's only fitting that they would use it to help them with parenting as well.
So it's not that big. It might have been a bigger leap for a guy like me to put a tracking device on the kid, but for them...
Probably. It's not something that you've always been used to.
Right.
But parents are just looking for more peace of mind and to know where their little kid is, not because they don't trust them, not because they're afraid, but to see that, okay, I let my kid get on the bus for the first time, and now I see that they were dropped off at school. It's a great feeling.
And I also read, though, that this is, and it sounds great for elderly, for parents or for elderly relatives as well.
Right, right. We've had a lot of customers come and buy it for that reason, for senior care, parents with dementia or Alzheimer's.
What percentage? So tell me about the customer base. I mean, what percentage are parents for their kids or for older people, or how does that break down?
Right now, it's a small percentage for the senior care market. One of our biggest markets is just special needs in general, and that's 25% of our customer base.
How many clients do you have?
We've sold thousands of devices across the U.S. We've got users in every single state.
And these devices can be, is it a special device for pets, or are these devices for pets, or tell me where the pets fit in here?
Yeah, so the pets product is...
Because I think the pets are where you're going to cash in.
Right, the pets product is very similar, same piece of hardware. We have a little bit different attachments that would be more fitting for a collar and for small animals. And then the app experience is a little bit different.
Right, are the pet devices being sold now?
You can buy it, but it's on a wait list right now.
Okay.
And we are a little bit on back order on our pets product as
things
well.
Things are good. You can't keep anything
in stock. Things are good, right. But we really tried to stay uber focused on on the kids market right now.
Mm-hmm.
As we move into 2019, we do intend to expand the pets market and really focus our efforts there as well.
Is there any move or idea of expanding this beyond living things? I mean, to track packages or track automobiles or things like that?
Yeah, the possibilities are endless, and we know that there are many use cases outside of just the family use case.
Can you explain one or two for me? Because I'm not sure I grasp that.
Say that again?
I'm not sure I grasp how it could be used for objects. So could you explain that for me?
Yeah. So for example, anything that you'd want to track, any kind of valuable asset that you'd want to track that you would need something very small with great battery life, it would be applicable there. So that goes across consumer cases, use cases, as well as enterprise.
And that's coming up in 2019 or
in 2019.
All right. Yeah. So the 2018 was big. 2019 sounds like it's going to be even bigger.
That's right.
Yeah. Where are you guys going to be in 5 years from now, do you think?
Gosh, in 5 years from now, I hope, all of parents are using Jiobit for their kids. It's just something that becomes second nature. Like, this is what you do. You have a child that is getting to kindergarten age, and you use a Jiobit. And then outside of that, you know, using it for multiple enterprise use cases across different verticals.
Lindsay Slutsky is the chief marketing officer at Jiobit. And, okay, well, let's just do the telethon, the pitch one more time. You've got a Cyber Monday deal that starts at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, it starts at 2 o'clock today. If you go to our website, geobit.com, you can get up to 25% off of a Jiobit.
It's G-I-O-B-I-T.
That's J-I-O-B-I-T.
J-I-O, oh, my God. Listen, thanks for coming by. I appreciate it.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. So who even uses their phone to call people anymore? Well, still a lot of people, apparently. But the tough part is all of those robocalls that spam your phone, making you not want to pick up your cell. However, the FCC is taking steps to crack down on those unwanted callers by locking down the unused phone numbers that robocallers take advantage of. And they're giving companies like AT&T and Verizon more control on marking things as spam, which could help fight those calls.
Hi, my name is Hank, calling from your company's human resources office.
Get out of here, Hank.
And like I've said many times before, there are certain things that just aren't going anywhere, especially certain aspects of cryptocurrencies. So take the time and learn the basics. 1871 is having another learning event to help you break down Ethereum, a cryptocurrency that's kind of like Bitcoin. The Chicago Blockchain Project is putting it together on Wednesday, November 28th at 6 p.m. And even if you're not taking out a second mortgage to invest in crypto, understanding the technology behind it will only help you going forward. Check out all the details online at 1871.com and you'll be happy to. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thank you very much, Orion Samuelson. Steve Bertrand here on the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank on 720 WGN. Elise Glink is on a phone line. She is the brains behind ThinkGlink.com and Best Money Moves as well, which is an app to help employers and their employees sort of get a handle on financial stress and figure out ways to help that. Check that out. It's bestmoneymoves.com. Elise, thanks for squeezing me in here. I know you're probably doing a lot of shopping today.
I am. It's just crazy. Cyber Monday is out there, and the deals are amazing to be had this year.
Is that really true? Are the deals to be amazing?
Well, I'm kind of surprised by how good some of them are, actually. So you can imagine Cyber Monday came about in 2005 when a couple of people, Ellen Davis and Scott Silverman, decided that there had to be a big way to push sales forward from Thanksgiving and noticed that people were now moving online, and this was a way for everybody to kind of push people online. And so last year, Cyber Monday sales were a record $6.5 billion compared with almost $3 billion in 2015. So it's really grown a lot. This year it's expected to be $8 billion, and I am doing my fair share. What about you?
I am doing my fair share. I was texting with my wife earlier this afternoon and pulled the trigger on a couple of things. I, of all things, found a publication that I like to read that is offering like 50% discount to re-up for a year.
Well, one of the things that I'm seeing is that deals on top of deals. So there were a whole lot of Black Friday deals that started at the beginning of Thanksgiving week, last Monday. And we watched those go all the way through the week.
Right.
And then last night late, I started getting ads for take 15% off Black Friday deals or take 60% off or 70% off final sales, or get a cash card, $50 off of every $200 that you spend. And so these Cyber Monday deals have become something to watch out for.
Well, you know, and I think I was talking to you last Monday where I said, is Black Friday still a thing, or will it always be a thing? Because you know, it's not a day anymore. The sale started before Thanksgiving. American Sales, I just read a commercial for them, and they're talking about their Black Friday event that continues. You could buy online before Black Friday or on Black Friday the same things you could buy in the stores. It seems as if it's all sort of getting melded together to where there might not be a singular event left anymore.
I don't know if there is, and it'll be interesting to note whether the reason the deals are so good today is because Black Friday sales just weren't that good, and I haven't started to see the numbers on whether the deals were really great for the week of Thanksgiving sales. We haven't seen retail numbers come out yet, or if this is a way for, you know, companies to wring one more, I don't know, $5 bill out of your pocket before the build up to Christmas Day shopping. But you can't have, you know, that, there's a lot of that out there, but you can't have that many days of best ever or last, you know, get them while they're hot sales without diluting future sales out of that.
Well, and they've got to be diluting their own bottom line as well, right? If these deals are too good, they're cutting their own throat.
Think so. I mean, it'll be, for example, Hulu has a Black Friday sale today, for example. It's been going through the whole weekend. It's not being advertised as a Cyber Monday sale, but they're offering 99 cents a month for 12 months, right?
Well, I'm going to go sign up for that right now. Yeah.
There you go. There's another one. But at Target today online, they had 15% off site-wide. So you get an extra 15% off your deal. So there, it's interesting to see how much of this is really pre-Christmas now, and how much of this is just Thanksgiving leftovers?
Elise Glink, you can check out more Best Money Moves, I should say, and thinkglink.com. Do that in between your shopping clicks. Thanks for talking today. I appreciate it, Elise.
You bet, Steve. Take care.